Are you all enjoying your stay here?
Yes.
Do you want to attend the seminar or want to go out and enjoy the sun?
No, seminar.
Today we will figure out what we'll do tomorrow. A pioneer group is going out to explore the mountaintops and then they will come and report. And then accordingly we'll make our program for tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow no seminar.
Oh no!
Well, or should we have the seminar on the mountain top?
Yes, please!
Okay. So we'll see. We'll play it by ear. So, spiritual evolution of conditioned soul. Spiritual. Do you like the expression spiritual? What does it imply? This expression spiritual, Ram Vijay, what are you doing? Oh, okay. You're going to have your seminar there? So, spiritual automatically implies that there is another reality called spiritual reality. Matter, if you look at it in the light of matter, then what it means? That beyond matter there is something called spirit. Is there something called spirit? In the West, people think that the mind is spirit or ghosts are spirit. That's a nice consideration. What is a ghost actually? Do you believe in ghosts?
Yes.
Maybe before we come to God consciousness, we can consider the possibility of ghost consciousness. Did anyone see a ghost? No? Oh, how unfortunate. Did you see a ghost? Where?
At home.
Can you tell us what did you see?
So like the shape of a human body is shaped. It was when I felt there was something. Just I saw it for 1 second or 2 seconds.
And did he say anything?
No.
Anyone else have any ghost experience?
In your movie, Abhay Charam.
Madhu Baba.
Madhu Baba.
I felt two times actually, that if someone is trying to oppress me when I'm sleeping, and I'm fighting off with him, and he's trying to paralyze me, I call Hare Krishna 2 times and he's gone. But it's quite strong, you know.
So, do you all believe this description? Kamal Prabhu.
Yeah, I saw in a manor that I was 1978. After I came from Sankirtan, I went to the washroom to drink water. And then as I come out, I see okay, calling me. I slammed the key on the door where the showroom is at the moment.
Yes.
Then there used to be reception right inside. Those days. I slammed a bunch of keys on the door. Because they said, you have the metal or the fire.
So the lady was calling you?
Yes. like a leg, just like one.
And those days you were a brahmachari.
About 12 o'clock at night.
A dangerous, Okay. So now let's just consider the ghost theory. How many types of material bodies do we have? The gross body and the subtle body. We have these two bodies. Inside this body, there is a subtle body. And after death, we leave the gross body, but the subtle body remains with us. And after death, the subtle body actually carries the soul to the next body. That is arranged by nature. Material nature actually arranges the spirit soul to go to the next body according to the shape of it. But if somebody is very sinful, then nature punishes that person. If somebody, after getting the human form of life, squanders this opportunity and becomes very, very sinful, becomes involved in sinful activities, then after death, he doesn't get another gross body. Nature doesn't allow another gross body for a long time. And he remains in the subtle. That's the punishment that nature gives him. Why is the punishment? Because he has desires, the subtle body has the desires, but he doesn't have the ability to fulfill them. Like for example, he has thirst, but he can't drink. He has hunger, but he can't eat. How will you feel at that time? Like tell me, okay, maybe you can explain this point a little more clearly. What is happiness? Can anybody define happiness? What is the definition of happiness? Yes? Huh? No, that is there. Yes? Very good. Fulfillment of desire. You have desire, when you fulfill the desire, you feel happy. And when you can't fulfill your desire, how do you feel?
Distressed.
You feel? Distressed. Now, when one is in a ghost body, he has all these desires, but he doesn't have any means to fulfill them. Can you imagine how does it feel? That's why the ghost try to take over somebody's body, fulfill his desire. When somebody, and he finds somebody who is weak, he tries to take over. And through that body, he tries to fulfill his desire. Have you seen people become haunted? People become mad? What is madness? Madness is often people are haunted by ghosts. Therefore, they behave in such a way that they don't remember what they have been doing. You'll notice when a madman becomes normal again, he doesn't remember anything that he had done when he was mad. Yes?
So does that mean that at that point when the soul is inhabiting another ghost body, there are actually two souls in that body?
Two souls. The original owner of the body has been overpowered. As Madhavendra Puri was telling, somebody was trying to overpower him. And that is, that ghost was trying to take over his body. Yeah. When you chant, therefore, when you feel like, sometimes you feel as if there's a heavy pressure on your chest, you cannot breathe and you feel very frightened, then what do? You just chant out Hare Krishna and you'll see. Ghost will just...
Actually, you said something very simple. You said that this happens if someone's very sinful in their life. But I always had the understanding, I thought that from a ghost, if you like commit suicide and or die like an unnatural death, so does that
good point.
Mean you're sinful?
Yes, very good point. Did everybody hear what Priya's question was? That here she mentioned that I said that when someone is very sinful, then he doesn't get another body, gross body. That's the punishment. But she was under the impression that when somebody dies an accidental death or somebody commits suicide, then he becomes a ghost. Yeah. What is an accidental? Now let's consider what is the cause of accidental death. The cause of accidental death in most cases is, say, you have a duration of 100 years. But as you commit sinful activities, the longevity diminishes. You lose your lifespan. Right? Say, somebody commits sinful activities. From 100 years, it became 99 years. Committed some more sinful activities, 98 years, 97 years, 90 years, 80 years, 70 years, 60 years, 50 years, 40 years, right? 60 years are gone. So his lifespan is gone for 60 years. And when he comes to 40, he's meant to leave his body. Because he can't stay in the body anymore. So what happens at that point, he dies a sudden death.
Does that mean that the explanation for young devotees today?
Well, devotees' case, when one is one has taken shelter of Krishna, then is different. But then again, also, you know, how sincerely he has taken shelter of Krishna. These are a consideration. But generally, understanding is that when one has taken shelter of Krishna, Krishna takes care of him. So his life is different. His life is different. But, and as you also meant that the commit suicide. Now suicide, consider suicide, what it actually means. Nature gave you, Mother Nature gave you a very, very beautiful body, human form of God. This body was meant to become Krishna conscious. But instead of using this body for your spiritual advancement, if that body is destroyed, whimsically, then isn't it natural that nature will say, okay, I gave you a very nice body and you squandered it, I won't give you another body, right? So that's why nature doesn't give another body and the person gives. Yes.
Why does the ghost run away when you say Hare Krishna?
Because the ghosts are afraid of Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and anybody is afraid of him.
But he's already a ghost. What more can Krishna do to him?
Krishna can deliver him if the ghost takes shelter of pure devotee. Like, remember what happened to the ghost when he took shelter? What happened?
He became
a demigod. Yeah, he became a Gandharva.
Yeah. But then why? Then they should be happy.
Right.
Not sad.
That is, if the ghost comes across a pure devotee like Prabhupada.
But he was too scared to do that.
Huh?
Prabhupada had a strong one, not a weak one.
Yeah, right. So Prabhupada created the good fortune for the ghost and told the ghost to chant Hare Krishna. So when you see a ghost, you also ask him to chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I don't think I'll see it when
But if you do, then tell him to chant Hare Krishna. All right? Then he'll be delivered. Yes, Harshanani? Yeah. You see, that for the animals, they are controlled by the nature. It's the human beings that become a ghost. Generally, animals don't become ghosts because they, like as it has been described, that the animals, when they're slaughtered, oftentimes those who are slaughtering the animal take their karma. They lose their karma. Those who are slaughtering, they lose their karma and the animal takes their karma. So as a result of that, sometimes the animals can become a human being and that person who slaughtered becomes an animal and then take revenge on him, slaughtering him. The karmic thing is very, very complex. There is no way that we can say that it will happen that way. But these are just the possibilities that we are talking about. Huh? Right. The animal will get the karma of the one who is slaughtering the animal.
Good karma.
The animal is taking good karma and he is taking the animal's karma. Getting the animal.
I was just going to say that at the meditation program,
there was a question. Haribol, I know, like, you need to translate, but I'm wondering. Because now it is actually, yeah, what to do. Maybe you can go at the middle at the back. Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's fine,
at the uni preaching program, there was an aggression. Somebody got very affected by it, and felt that their whole life they'd had a ghost in their body. During the regression, it came out the personality of the ghost. So the girl was acting like a boat, because when young she'd had a traumatic experience, she car crashed.
So this was your personally experienced?
No, Jayadev Prabhu was in the movie because he did it.
Oh, I know. Jayadev Prabhu. Yeah, there's so many possibilities. But anyway, the bottom line is, the ghosts do exist. Alright? Whether you saw or not, but the reality is the ghosts do exist. You may see them or you may not see them. They are there. Like, there are many things that we cannot see. Like, in order to see a ghost, you have to go to that level of consciousness. I mean, you have to have that consciousness. That's why generally one experiences ghosts when one is in a half asleep, not fully awake. Working. Yeah, now it's working. So, okay, so we so why we wanted to discuss about that, at least it proves that there is another level of existence beyond this gross material. There is a subtle material. We cannot see them, but they are there. Similarly, they are demigods. They are there, but we can't see them. They are there. But beyond that, beyond the gross material existence and subtle material existence, there is a spiritual existence. The existence of the spirit soul. There is a spiritual reality, which is completely beyond this material. Material nature has two aspects, gross aspect, subtle aspect. But beyond that, there's a spiritual reality. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is describing that, making that point as Indriyani param nahur, indriyabhya param mano, mano sustu para buddhe, ja paratastu sa. That is indriyana paranahur, that grow up beyond gross material elements or gross material objects. There are the senses are superior to gross matter, and beyond the senses is mind. Indriyabha param mana, superior to the mind of superior to the senses is the mind. Manushastu para buddhe, beyond that mind is intelligence. And beyond intelligence is the spirit soul. The spirit soul is beyond intelligence, which means the spirit soul is beyond intelligence. So there is another reality which is diametrically opposite. Now, how do we understand about the existence of the spirit soul? The understanding of the existence of the spirit soul is through what is the symptom of life? Symptom of life is consciousness. How do we know that something is alive? A small little insect, is it living or dead? Living. A tree, is it living or inert? Living. A little plant, is it living? Yes. And how do you know? Through consciousness. There is consciousness in that. Did you do that kind of experiment in your biology class? You turn a tree upside down in a tub, a plant, and you will see the plant is just going. It turned it upside down, but the plant is going, changing direction. We keep a plant near the window. And what do we see? The plant is moving towards the light. Now if you keep a chair in the middle of the room, will the chair ever move to the But the plant... But the plant does. Yeah. Ramananda's comment was, if the chair was haunted by a ghost. But then again, the ghost also is a living being. Ghost also has a spirit soul. The ghost has a spirit soul too. Although it doesn't have a gross body. So the sign of life is in consciousness. And there are five different types of consciousness. All the living entities fall in these five different categories of consciousness. And those five categories of consciousness are, the first is covered consciousness, like in a tree or a plant. The consciousness is there, but it is covered consciousness. When we analyze it, observe it very closely, then we see that plant. There was a very famous Indian scientist, Jagadish Chandra Bose. He proved through scientific method, that the trees have... It doesn't take very much to understand that. As we say, simple experiments will prove that. But he, of course, did that. What he did is, he created an apparatus that would magnify the feeling so to such an extent that the tree would display its pleasure and pain. The tree would display that in some condition it is feeling pain, in some condition. Like somebody comes with an axe and starts to cut the tree. And the tree is screaming, please don't do that. I'm hurt. It's hurting me. Don't kill me. But it is so covered that we can't register that. But then all of a sudden, after the sun, after the rainy, after 3 days of rains, like in Switzerland, all of a sudden the sun comes up, tree starts to jump in ecstasy. I'm so happy. So this is how the trees and plants also display their pleasure. And so, and then we see there's another kind of consciousness, like the insects and worms. It's quite clear that they have consciousness. But their consciousness is in a shrunken state. So first stage, first grade of consciousness is covered consciousness. Consciousness is there, but it's practically covered. Then there is shrunken state of consciousness. And from insects and worms up to animals, they fall in that category, shrunken. Then there is the bud state of consciousness. A bud, have you seen a bud? How does the bud look? The petals are there, but they are all in a shrunken state. But the bud has the ability to bloom. Although the petals are in a shrunken state, but under certain condition, it begins to bloom. So the human beings fall in the bud state of consciousness. Trees and plants are in a covered consciousness. Insects up to the animals fall in shrunken state of consciousness. The human beings fall in the bud state of consciousness. Now apparently the human beings are also like animals. Sometimes the human beings are described as civilized animals. Yesterday who was mentioning? I think Sitaram Prabhu mentioned. The sophisticated animals. The human beings are sophisticated animals. They're animals, right? They dress nicely, shave their beard, live in a house, cook in the kitchen. But their activities are like that of an animal. What are the animal propensities? Eating, sleeping, mating, so animal does that, human beings also do that. So, in that sense, human beings are also like, but the human beings have a very, very special ability that the animals do not have. What is that very special ability? The very special ability is to expand his consciousness. Human beings can expand his consciousness. Now in this respect, the example of a bud is very relevant. The bud has the ability to bloom. But when will the bud bloom? Say a lotus bud. Okay, when the sun comes. But if the bud, if the lotus is just lying in the courtyard, and the sun comes up, will the lotus bloom? Mm-hmm. Why not? It's not connected to the plant. Very good.
It doesn't have any light.
Or it doesn't have the shelter of the water. So, okay, that's a very good point that Pujarini made. The connection to the plant. So here, for a human being, for the bud to bloom, what it needs? It needs the light of the sun, the rays of the sun, and connection to the plant. Right? And what is that connection to the plant? Okay, that here the sun is Krishna. When a human being is exposed to the sun, exposed to Krishna, who is like the sun, being connected through the disciplic succession, then his consciousness begins to bloom. So these are the two conditions. So when, in simple words we can say, when one has the shelter of the water and exposure to sun. The shelter of the water is the spiritual master and sun is good. Then that bud consciousness begins to bloom. So that is the fourth stage of consciousness called the blooming state. And then when one becomes fully Krishna conscious, then he is in the fully bloomed state of consciousness. So these are the five different types of... Is it clear? In what category of consciousness you come in? Which category?
Can you repeat the five types of consciousness?
There. Bud state. Okay, Sharada very humbly thought that she is in the bud state. In the blooming state of consciousness. Is the consciousness blooming?
Yes.
And that blooming state of consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. Aren't you exposed to Krishna?
Yes.
Sharada Devi Dasi? And do you have the shelter? Are you connected to the tree of disciplic succession? Okay. So, it's a blooming state of consciousness. And then, eventually, the bud will bloom into a fully bloomed state of consciousness. You want to take advantage of that opportunity? So, become Krishna. Become very nicely exposed to Krishna under the guidance of her discipline. You want to say something?
I remember reading the hearing these five states of consciousness. And
there
was a terminology, I've forgotten the terminology for that. One of them.
Bukulit. Oh, okay.
And I think one was
Bhadha. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, you can write down, you can take note. In Sanskrit, the first one is called Achhadito Chetan. Achhadito means covered. Achhadan means covering, and Achhadito means covered. Achhadito Chetan. Chetan means consciousness. A-C-C-H-A-D-I-T-A. Chadita, Chetan. Then, Sankuchita Chetan. Sankuchita Chetan means shrunken state of consciousness. S-A-N-K-U-C-I-T-A. Sankuchita Chetan. Then, Mukulita Chetan. Mukul means bud. Bad state of consciousness. Then, Vikoshita Chetan. V-I-K-A-S-I-T-A. Vikoshita. And then, the fifth stage is Purna Vikoshita Chetan. P-U-R-N-A. V-I-K-A-S-I-T. Purna Vikoshita. So this is how there are five levels of consciousness. So now you understand why human form of life is so special. Because in this life, we have the ability to develop our consciousness to a fully bloomed consciousness. And when you become fully bloomed consciousness, then where are you? Then you are in your spiritual consciousness. The covering, now you consider the covering is caused by what? Covering is caused by Maya. So fully bloomed state of consciousness means there is no covering. So, that is the pure spiritual. Okay, so next point, actually we covered them already. Advantage of a human form of life. What is the special advantage of human form of life? Premanjana? Yeah. Ability to find out the cause of our bondage and become it. And that process is taking us from taking the budding consciousness to blooming consciousness. So as long as the human being doesn't take as long as a human being doesn't take advantage of this process, then he is in a shrunken state.
If he doesn't take advantage of the facility that he has, he goes back down to...
Yeah, he can go back. He can go back to the shrunken state of consciousness. Or he can even go into the covered consciousness.
That's when they change bodies.
Yeah, that is after death. And that's why it's so important for a human being to get exposed to Krishna and take shelter of the guidance of a spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master. Bona fide spiritual master means one who is connected to the sampradaya. This.
What does it mean, shrunken consciousness?
Shrink means what? Yes. So when the consciousness is shrunken, right? Like the animals or insects, there is consciousness, but it is not open. It's that's the expression that has been used, is shrunken. Shrunken means compressed. Right? It is not. It's not covered. It is exposed, but it's in shrunken state. But this shrunken state, you know, begins to get exposed. Like, look at the bud. What is the condition of the bud? Well, how are the petals? They're in a shrunken state, right? But it has the ability to bloom. When will it bloom? When it's exposed to Krishna, under the guidance of the spirit.
This applies to what we were talking about. Prabhupada delivered a ghost to become a demigod. How can some of those in such wonderful positions go straight to becoming a demigod?
Good point. Very good. Okay. Yeah, Priya has another very good question. Like, you know, Prabhupada, how could Prabhupada deliver a ghost and take him to the position of a demigod? Demigod means Gandharva. Yeah. Good question. You see, a ghost is in a subtle body. And in that condition, what actually happens is that he doesn't have any ability to fulfill his desires. But by being Krishna conscious, by being exposed to the holy name, what does the holy name do? Holy name eradicates all sinful reactions. Now consider a ghost, because of his sinful condition, he is in a ghost condition. Now, when he becomes free from all sinful reactions, what will happen? He doesn't have any more sinful. So then what happens? Okay, then he is situated in another situation which is devoid of sinful reaction. That's a pious situation. Now, the demigod's body and the ghost body are very similar. Ghost body is subtle body and demigod's body is also subtle body. Only difference is the ghosts are burdened with their sinful reaction, where demigods are ecstatic with their pious activities.
Then wouldn't it mean that a ghost would want to chase after devotees? But doesn't it mean that if you become a ghost that you want to keep chasing after devotees so you can get that position?
Yes, some. You see, the thing is that, you know, who will chase after the devotees? Who knows the advantage of being a devotee? Ami to kangal, Krishna Krishna boli, dhaita ho bache bache. I am like a beggar running after you, begging, give me Krishna, give me Krishna. So when one understands the importance of Krishna and Krishna consciousness, they will. But those who don't, will they? Like, Krishna consciousness is bringing such benefit, incredible benefit. But how many people are running after the devotees in this world? What to speak of a ghost? Even intelligent, fully conscious human beings are not running after them because they don't understand. But when a ghost becomes aware, then he won't be a ghost. You see, if a ghost becomes aware of the importance of Krishna consciousness, then he cannot possibly be in a ghost state anymore. He will become free from all his sinful needs. Just by remembering Krishna. Just by remembering Krishna, one becomes completely free. Just smaret pundarikaksham sa vaiha abhantaraha su. So this is the power of remembering. Just by remembering Krishna, just by thinking about Krishna, just by sudden taking shelter of Krishna, one can become free. So that's why it's so important that we recognize the benefit and take it. Yes, we can do this.
You know, while the last three stages are, they refer to human beings, And is there a semblance or similarity between what we read in Madhurya Kadambini about someone, a devotee who has reached the bhava or the prema stage? Is it fully bloomed? The one who is starting is Shraddha.
Okay, yes. Very good point. Rupananda Prabhu is drawing a parallel to different stages of spiritual advancement according to Madhurya Kadambini. Also, it is in the nectar of devotion. Adau Shraddha, beginning. Tato Sadhu Sangraha. Atha Bhajana Kriya. Pratsanibhriti. Then Nishtha. So, where is it beginning? Where the bud state of consciousness is beginning to bloom? Is beginning to bloom with Shraddha. It begins with Shraddha. Shraddha means accepting Krishna. Shraddha Shabde Vishash Kahi. Shudriya Nishchay. Krishne Bhakti Koile Sarva Karma. Shraddha means the implicit faith that if I render devotional service unto Krishna, then everything will be. That is Shraddha. So, one is, in order to be in that state, one must be exposed to Krishna. Okay, then comes Shraddha, you develop Shraddha. And then after Shraddha comes Sadhu Sangha. And Sadhu Sangha leads to Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya means?
Devotion.
Accepting a bona fide spiritual. So now you see, exposure to Krishna, then leading to sudden accepting a spiritual. So that is the criteria for the bud to begin to bloom. And as a result of that, what will happen? The next stage is Anartha Nivritti. And Anartha Nivritti will lead to Nishtha. So in this way, the blooming state will be Nishtha to Bhava. And fully bloomed state is spring. Very good point. Huh? Take note of that. Or rather, pass your note down to us.
How is this Annamaya?
You see, Annamaya state is the animal state. I mean, you can relate to, you see, like everything can be related to this concept. Right? The Annamaya is animal state. From animal state, one is coming to the human state through pranamaya state. And then it goes gyanamaya and then vijnanamaya. That is the blooming state. And then anandamaya is the fully bloomed state. Okay, any other question? Yes, Madhavendra?
10 years ago in Frankfurt you get a public class on this.
Yeah, right.
Who's at the day of church.
Yeah, Kim Kintag.
Yes.
You were there?
I have
the script. Okay. Yeah. And it was so successful that they stopped giving me visa to come to Germany.
Helmut Kohl
was there? Is it? I don't know. But he was not the president. Was he president at that time?
He was the chancellor.
Chancellor? I don't know. It was a big program actually, organized by the Christian Church, yeah. And
that class in the big.
I see. Yeah. Fortunately, all the European countries got together and created the Schengen state. Then only I started to get the visa. From that time onwards, they stopped me from coming to Germany. They considered me to be the enemy of the state. Actually, some people became very worried. And that was a very successful program. I mean, you see, there were so many questions. You were there?
I wasn't there.
Oh, you were not there. There were so many questions that they had to shift me to another room. And because, you know, that main hall was for another program. So they had to make arrangements for that other program. Because there was program one after another. So they shifted me to another room and there the question answer continued. I mean, that shows, you know, people are really eager to learn. And it's a matter of how we present it. If we present it in a proper way, you know, people are there. Is
that in German? Because the script is in German.
Yeah, I spoke in German. I spoke in German since I laid it out. I laid out the presentation was from... I have difficulty giving a class. Okay, so... So should we have a workshop? Or Rupanuga had some other idea. Rupanuga was thinking that maybe the 4 hours that you have between lunch and evening program, you can have the workshop at that time and you continue with the class now with a 15-minute break. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Or should we just carry on for half an hour and then...
Yes.
Just carry on for half an hour. Right? So... Any other questions? Like, let us see if any... Sunita, do you have a question? You see, prem means love, right? And the ultimate goal of life is to fall in love with Krishna. Really fall in love. And falling in love with Krishna is actually so easy. It's so easy because, you see, love is reciprocal. Both the lover and beloved have to be in love with each other. If one party is in love and the other party is not, then is it love? Then the love is not complete. Now, you see, in this case, Krishna is in love with us, but we are not responding. Now consider, if one party is in love, if the lover is in love with the beloved, and the beloved doesn't respond, how does the lover feel? I think the first day I just briefly discussed on that. Like I just gave a very simple example. There's a young boy and a young girl, right? And the boy is in love with the girl, but the girl doesn't respond. How does the boy feel? He feels miserable, isn't it? But then one day, he receives a note from the girl saying that she loves him. Then how does the boy feel? We can well imagine. Now, in this case, Krishna is that lovelorn boy in love. And we are that young girl who is not responding to that love. But if we just tell, if we just express our love, then that love will become. Because Krishna is waiting for us to love Him. If Krishna didn't love us, then why is He going wherever we are going? As the Super Soul, why Krishna is just following us wherever we are going? Why? Is it duty bound? Or He is in love? Right. If Krishna didn't love us, then why is He making all these arrangements for us? Why is He providing us with all the food that we need? All the food that you need, are you getting them? Who is supplying them? Who is? Krishna is supplying. Why? Because He loves. Because He loves you. All the water, see what an arrangement Krishna is making. He is taking all the water from the ocean, make it evaporate with the rays of the sun, and then form the cloud and shift them to different corners of this planet. Right? Make them condense and then come down in the form of raindrops. What a huge arrangement. Why did He make that arrangement to supply water for us? Did He ever consider? Because He loves us. So can anybody have any doubt that Krishna loves us? Now what is the problem? Why that love affair is not complete? Because we are not responding. Now if we just respond to Krishna's love, then that love will be complete. And that is... Now, is it difficult to fall in love with Krishna? Is it difficult to fall in love with somebody who already loves you? So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, to remind us about how Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishna Prema Pradayate. He is giving us Krishna Prema. That means He is reminding us how much Krishna loves us. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. So that is the perfection of life. And it can be so easily achieved. And everybody wants to love somebody, don't we? We want to love somebody. Now tell me, where will we get a person like Krishna, fall in love with? The richest person, the most handsome person, the most wise person, the most famous person, and he loves us. So it's just a matter of telling. And the sincere chanting of Hare Krishna is actually telling Krishna, Krishna I love you. And that's why when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna begins to dance. Because Krishna says, Krishna feels that now my love has been complete. Now my love has been properly rewarded. Because love is chanting. And that's where Krishna consciousness is so sublime. There's nothing in this world that can match this one. Yes, Yadurani, and then I'll take your question. Oh, I see. Okay.
So would you say it's easier to go from like the blooming to the fully bloomed stage rather than going flooding to the bloomed stage?
What's that?
So is it easier to go from the blooming stage to the fully bloomed stage?
Is it difficult for a lotus bud to bloom into fully bloomed lotus? It's not, provided it is exposed to the sun under the shelter of the water. So we simply have to place ourselves in that situation. Exposed to Krishna under the guidance of the disciples. At the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Will it be difficult? It'll automatically happen. Just as you have learned. Isn't it? Aren't you developing your Krishna consciousness? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't your consciousness expanding? That's how simple it is. We simply have to place ourselves in that condition. Yes, Ramananda.
My holy name can pierce to any level of consciousness. Realized when I was with the dying person, from Kamala Manjari wife, and she said, nice words to tell to that person. And I told her, but I was kind of shy and I didn't speak loud. But then afterwards, I got to realize that if I would have spoken very loud, I could have actually made contact. So, and there is another example, one devotee's father. So her stepfather, he was not a devotee, but he was about to die. And she put the tape with the Hare Krishna mantra. He was in a coma actually for a long time. And she gave Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. At one point, he woke up. The rest of the whole story that actually probably Shingar is an evil thing. But the holy name can pierce through any type of consciousness.
And purer the chanting, greater will be the effect. Yes? Yeah, I just mentioned that, I also mentioned that devotees are not within the jurisdiction of material nature, karmic. Devotees are completely under Krishna's control. So Krishna says, okay, now you have come back to me, or you go and take up another assignment. So devotee will go there. Like, we can also consider how Jesus Christ, he left at the age of 33. Can you speak a little louder? Well, in this life he may not have committed sinful activities, but what about his previous life? Our karmic reactions are not limited to only one life. It carries on life after life. So, previous life's karmic reactions can take long. Okay. Brother Priya? Can you speak a little louder?
If someone doesn't have like enough food, are they able to come back?
Yeah. If somebody doesn't have food to eat or water to drink and the main point is if somebody is suffering, is it a result of his bad karma? But another consideration is sometimes Krishna may put somebody in certain situation to make him evolve. He goes through some suffering condition, but it is to reward him, it is to prepare him for something wonderful.
Sometimes it's difficult to explain to people who aren't Krishna consciousness that this person is in the situation because of their karma, they're suffering because of it.
Yeah, so actually these sort of things better not to tell to outsiders who will not understand. You see, they're dwelling in another planet.
So many people ask like why the natural disasters, why some people are just born in environment.
Yeah, like say for example when the tsunami took place. The whole world was mourning. At that time, if you went and told, it is due to their bad karma. People won't be able to relate to that in understanding. Therefore, these very intricate things about karmic principles, better we keep it under ourselves. And when the time comes, at the right opportune moment, we can tell them. that you are suffering because you are not surrendering. It is because in one hand you are committing sinful activity, and then when you suffer, then why am I suffering? Like in Back to Godhead, I remember there was one cartoon that one butcher, you know, while he is chopping the meat, he chops his finger off, right? And then he cries, why did it happen to me? Right? He's committing all kinds of sinful activities, and when he gets the reaction, then he questions, why did it happen to me?
I was just going to say that as devotees, we're merciful. I mean, we help them, don't we, in a bad situation?
Yeah, and what's the best way to help them? By making them Krishna conscious, by making them understand why they are suffering. Say, for example, you see, someone hurts himself. Now, yes, while you are, you know, treating him from the hurt, you should also tell him why he got hurt and tell him not to do that again. Now, by doing that, we are actually extending the real benefit. But on the other hand, when the person is crying in pain because of his hurt, and we start giving them, we start to preach to them, oh yes, this is your karma, this is your, because you have acted in a sinful way, you got hurt. That also is a display of lack of sympathy. We have to be sympathetic. Yeah, treat him. When a person is hungry, give him food. And then you tell him the way he can solve his food problem for him. So we have to do both. Take care of their immediate need as well as prepare them to be free from that condition. So as Rupananga just pointed out, Madhurya Kadambini, I'll briefly discuss about that. The Madhurya Kadambini is a very wonderful book written by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. It gives a gradual progression of a devotee. And Madhurya, what is the meaning of the word Madhurya? Madhur means sweet. And Madhurya means sweetness. And Kadambini. Kadambini means the flower. So what is the real sweetness? The real sweetness is the nectar. So this nectar, this book is actually describing the cloud bank that showers nectar. Which is that cloud bank? Which is that cloud? This is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is showering nectar. And if we take advantage of that nectar, then we can become... What does nectar do? Nectar gives immortality. No more birth and death. If we accept this mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can become free from the bondage of birth. And this is... What is the nectar that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showering? Or this cloud bank is showering? This nectar is the nectar of Krishna consciousness. And so the first point he makes there is that how can one get Krishna Bhakti? And the point he makes is that Krishna Bhakti or devotion to Krishna can be achieved, can be received only by the mercy of a devotee. It is only by the mercy of a devotee that we can get Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Prem. And the bhakti begins with Shraddha. So at the stage of Shraddha, one develops his implicit faith that Krishna is Supreme Personality of God. Now, you all can question yourself, do you have any doubt that Krishna is God? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Does anybody have any doubt? Brinda, do you have any doubt? No? Oh, you are so wise. So Krishna is the Supreme Person. Krishna is the Supreme Proprietor. He is the Supreme Controller. And He is the benefactor. He is there. Krishna is there. Our dearmost friend who is taking care of us and always with us. And if we think about it, then you can see how wonderfully Krishna is always taking care of us. Just consider one simple thing, simple consideration. Where are we now? Where are we situated? We are situated on the surface of the earth. We are situated? Are we inside the earth or outside the earth? Outside, on the surface. And what is the shape of the earth? Is the earth flat or round? Like a ball. Huh? Like an orange. So, it's like a tennis ball. And it's like a ball, round, spherical thing. We are situated on the surface and it is moving. Now if a circular thing moves and if there is something on the surface of it, what will happen? Yeah, it will fall off. Right? And at what speed does earth is moving? About 1,000 miles and 1,000 kilometers. At that speed the earth is moving. 1,000 kilometers. Now what would have happened naturally, normally to us? Wouldn't it would get thrown away? Right? But did it ever happen? Did anybody ever heard that somebody got thrown off from the surface of the earth? Did it ever happen? Huh? In a movie also they don't show. They are not smart enough to figure that out. So we now, why aren't we getting thrown out from the surface of the planet? Why not? Okay, may call it whatever gravity or fevity. But the thing is that Krishna made the arrangement to keep us all on the surface without being affected. Without being thrown out. Now why is he doing that? Why did Krishna make this arrangement? Because he loves us. Because he cares for us. Now, when you stand on top of a high building and there is no railing, we get so worried. Oh, what will happen if I fall off? But do you ever consider what will happen if the earth stops to move? The earth is moving. Now, and one thing is that it's moving at a tremendous speed. And we are safely situated. Right? Now another consideration is, if by chance the earth stops to move for a fraction of a second, you know what will happen? Huh? Nayana Manjari? Can you tell us what will happen? You don't know? Huh? Exactly. Right. Everything, the whole creation, the entire surface of the earth will be finished. The ocean water will just splash and cover the entire surface of the earth. All the buildings will collapse. Everything will be thrown into the space. We can't imagine what is going to happen. Yeah, it's true. Like when you said you don't know, you actually mean that you can't imagine what will happen. We can't even imagine what will happen. Did it ever happen? We know that the creation, the earth is there for... You know, even scientists say that it has been existing for 25 billion years. Yeah. But they don't realize that it is just a billion years is nothing. This planet is existing for trillions of years. But did it ever happen? This is how Krishna is taking. So when you know that someone is there to take care of us in such a way, why should we worry? Why should we worry? We should simply depend upon you. Krishna, you are taking care of me so nicely for all this while. I know you'll take care of me in future also, so I don't care about myself. I surrender to. Okay.
Why does the earth have to move?
Why did it?
Why did the earth have to move?
Why did earth have to move? That's a good question. Why does the earth have to move? Maybe you should go and ask Krishna.
Well, if I wasn't going to go to Vrindavan, you can be done.
So, you see, the material nature, the law is, the material nature has been designed in such a way that to keep everything in proper shape, different planets are given with different types of dynamism, dynamics. And they're not only moving on the axis, but it's also moving in the orbit. That is how the earth is, this is how the arrangement has been made. But there are again some planets, some celestial bodies that doesn't move on the axis. For example, the moon.
But
the
no moon one could live in there.
Is sure? Cold. Yes, the moon planet is full.
It would be very cold for us.
It is not cold. It is so wonderful that when you go there, you feel ecstatic.
People say the moon is made of heat.
Don't listen to those people. Because their brains, they don't have anything in the brains but cheese. Instead of grey matter, they've got cheese matter. Okay? And these are the people, those who say that moon planet is cold, moon planet is cold. Moon planet is beautiful. You know who lives there? Somdev. Somdev holds a pot of nectar. Whoever goes there, he says, drink a cup of nectar. And you know who is Somdev's son? Somdev's son is Abhimanyu.
He's the one Krishna asked him to send his son to Earth for 16 years, and then he says found out if it was Krishna told him, and he is, and then he came.
That's Abhimanyu. You are so wise.
You are wiser.
Thanks for your wise comment. Okay. Hare Krishna. Yes? Ramantan.
The creation of God has no aspect that we see ourselves and also both our manifestation of Krishna.
This material nature has got two aspects. One is the display of Krishna's love, and another aspect is the law of the nature, which is very stringent and which subjects us to the reactions of our actions. So the cruel aspect of this material nature is due to the reactions of our sinful act, our wrongdoing. But when you take shelter of Krishna, then everything becomes so easy. Because Krishna is, then we are free from this karmic reaction. Then there is no more suffering. Even though there may be some apparent sufferings, but those sufferings don't touch. So the point is, those cruel aspects of the material nature is for those who don't want to surrender to Krishna. But those who have surrendered to Krishna, for them everything is so. Isn't everything wonderful for you? Why? Because you have taken shelter of Krishna. What others cannot understand, the non-devotees cannot understand. Rather they think that the devotees are suffering. They are enjoying. But they don't realize that the real enjoyment actually comes from within. It's not a thing of without. While they are trying to make all kinds of arrangements to enjoy through their senses in the world outside, but the result is frustration, disappointment. Whereas the devotees, although apparently they don't have much for sense gratification, but they are actually experiencing a joy that cannot be described in words, and that these people can never understand. Only they themselves, those who are experiencing them, those who are enjoying it themselves. Yes, Madhavendra?
And the earth is rotating on itself to allow everyone to benefit from the sun. Quite if it was one side only, the other side, which is in the dark, would never benefit, so it's rotating so that.
If that was the case, then Krishna would have made the sun to go around. Anyway, to leave it at that, you know, Krishna makes the perfect arrangements. Like, it's like, you know, say when you look at a car, like every arrangement in the car, perfectly designed, under the expert arrangement of the engineer, or the group of engineers. And there, everything that is there is in the perfectly situated and using the perfect order. Similarly, I mean, if a car, say, if a Mercedes-Benz can have such wonderful arrangement, what to speak of Krishna's arrangement? Everything is perfect. Thank you. Okay. Okay, Manu.
Maybe cosmology is a little different. Yes, the earth is still in rotation. So I know that Sadhguru put about trying to reconcile it.
Let the pundits figure that out. We are just happy enjoying the sun under the sweet mountain.